Support for Alaska Public Media On Demand comes from SIRI, an Alaska Native corporation with operations and investments spanning 5 continents, 45 states, and 2 U.S. territories.
I just can't believe that my daughter has fewer rights today than I did at her age.
Alaskans react to the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. From Alaska Public Media, this is Statewide News on Alaska News Nightly for Friday, June 24th. Good evening, I'm Lori Townsend. Also tonight, this month could be Anchorage's warmest June on record.
Man, this is really kind of a bad sign for the future of Alaska, but man, this is great for gardening.
Those stories and more tonight on Alaska News Nightly.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Invasive plants and animals threaten Alaska's environment and economy and can spread to new locations by hitching a ride. Anyone can help prevent the spread of invasive species by remembering to play clean go, removing all plants, animals, and mud from boots, gear, and vehicles before entering and leaving recreational areas will help stop invasive species in their tracks. Learn more at playcleango.org. This message sponsored by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
A judge has ruled that elections officials do not need to put the fifth place finisher in this month's U.S. House special primary on the upcoming special election ballot in place of a candidate who withdrew. Superior Court Judge William Morse issued an order today agreeing with the Alaska Division of Elections reading of the law. His decision was appealed. The division's director has said that because independent Al Gross withdrew less than 64 days before the election, state law did not permit the division to put the fifth place candidate, Republican Tara Sweeney, on the special election ballot in his place. A lawsuit challenging that interpretation was filed by 3 registered voters. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the landmark case Roe v. Wade, ruling that there is no constitutional right to an abortion. The reversal of more than 50 years of legal precedent has abortion activists across the country wondering how access to reproductive rights in their states will be impacted. As Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports, access to safe and legal abortions in Alaska will likely remain, but today's ruling could open the door to attempts to restrict that access.
In their ruling on Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, the Supreme Court voted 6-3 in favor of overriding the right to abortion guaranteed by Roe v. Wade. The decision hit Alaskans early in the morning. In Juneau, resident Emily Chappell took to a corner downtown to wave signs with a friend in protest.
I just can't believe that my daughter has fewer rights today than I did at her age. There's so much more. I'm really upset. Guns have more rights than I do at this point as a woman in the United States.
Rose O'Hara Jolly is the state director for Planned Parenthood in Alaska. They say they had a measured reaction to the news.
It was to take a deep breath, to say we knew this was coming. We're ready for this fight, and we're not going to stop.
Across the nation, the court's decision sparked protests and rallies as people grappled with what the overturning of Roe means for abortion access where they live. In nearly half of states, the decision was expected to lead to the banning of abortions or to severely restrict access to them. As for how the ruling will affect Alaska, O'Hara Jolly says the state has a strong right to privacy in its constitution, and the ability to get a safe and legal abortion is still there.
So the overturning of the federal protection of that right to privacy applying to abortion does not immediately impact Alaska. Our state Supreme Court has ruled multiple times that our state constitutional right to privacy covers the right to an abortion.
While abortions are likely going to continue in Alaska, O'Hara Jolly says they're concerned about what's to come, since some Alaska lawmakers have already made repeated attempts to limit abortion access in the state.
We know that they are going to try to come against that because they already do, right? So their last session was a constitutional amendment to remove abortion. Also, HB 206 was one of the most extreme anti-abortion bills in the country, and it was in the Alaska State House.
The sponsor of both bills O'Hara Jolly is referring to was celebrating the Dobbs ruling. In a statement, Wasilla Representative and Republican governor candidate Christopher Kirka wrote, quote, Roe versus Wade has been a scourge on our nation for nearly 60 years. It was a decision that was both immoral and unconstitutional, and I'm overjoyed that it has been overturned today, unquote. Kirka then called for Governor Mike Dunleavy to call a special legislative session to work on anti-abortion legislation. Dunleavy issued a statement after the ruling affirming that he is pro-life and said he will introduce a resolution during the next legislative session for a constitutional amendment that would determine whether abortion is a constitutionally protected right. Two other candidates for governor indicated their support for maintaining Alaska's existing rights to abortion. In a statement, independent candidate and former Governor Bill Walker wrote, quote, "While we recognize the Dobbs decision is extremely controversial, we take seriously the oath to uphold our Alaska Constitution. That means under the Walker Dry Gas administration, women will continue to make their own choices regarding their reproductive health care," unquote. Democratic candidate Les Guerra was a little more forceful, writing that if elected, he would, quote, "screen future judicial candidates to see if they'll follow prior Alaska case law protecting choice, veto anti-choice legislation, and never appoint an attorney general who'll try to roll back a woman's right to choose," unquote. The Guerra and Walker campaigns also opposed holding a new constitutional convention, an item on this year's ballot that anti-abortion advocates have supported as a potential avenue to ban abortions in the state. Kirka has expressed support for the constitutional convention, while in a recent radio interview on KRBD in Ketchikan, Dunleavy told listeners that he'd leave it to voters.
If they vote for it, I think they'll. I think the people of Alaska, once again, I have a lot of faith in them that there will be some positive outcomes. If they decide they don't want it, then they are. I'd have to accept that they're content with the constitutional arrangement we have now.
With help from Claire Strumpel in Juneau and Reagan Miller in Ketchikan, in Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
Fire crews are continuing to work on a 13-acre wildland fire in East Anchorage that ignited in a wooded area Thursday near Campbell Park. The fire is at least 50% contained and no longer growing, says Mike McMillan, a spokesperson for the Division of Forestry. Nearby roads are reopened. By this afternoon, McMillan said fire crews had cut a line with chainsaws around the fire area and would work through the weekend.
Now it's just that long mop-up and It's not exciting work. It's just dirty, and they just got to keep pumping water to it and working from the outside in. And their goal is 100% out.
The fire did not damage any buildings, and no homes were evacuated. McMillan says what sparked the fire is still unknown, but fire officials are ruling out possible causes and have interviewed people living in camps in the area.
You know, we know it wasn't lightning, and we know it wasn't power lines, so we're just narrowing down the causes. And we sent a fire investigator to try to determine the cause at the point of origin of the fire.
In 2019, a fire burned close to the same area and was ignited by a flare fired into some grass. As hot and dry conditions persist in Anchorage, the city has prohibited open fires and warns of very high fire danger. Climate change-induced warming temperatures are causing wildland fires to become more frequent and intense in Alaska. South Central Alaska is having one of its hottest starts to summer to date, and it's not going to be letting up anytime soon. Brian Brettschneider is a climate scientist with the National Weather Service Alaska region. He says this month is set to end up the warmest June on record in Anchorage, where he's based.
It's certainly one for the record books. And if you look at the average high temperature, it'll be the first, almost certainly. It's not a guarantee, but most likely it'll be the first June, where the average high temperature was 70 degrees.
Temperatures aren't quite as exceptional in Kenai as they've been in Anchorage. Brettschneider says it's the fourth warmest June Kenai has seen in 70 years, just a half degree away from being the warmest. Brettschneider says the warm temperatures in the region are in part due to a very persistent area of high pressure at all levels of the atmosphere.
When there's a lot of air above you, it's heavy and it sinks. And to get rain and clouds, you need rising air. And so when you have sinking air, you end up with very sunny conditions and typically very warm conditions.
That isn't uniform throughout the state. This month has been a cooler than normal June for northern Alaska. There could be a bit of a reprieve in temperatures this upcoming weekend, Brettschneider says, with temperatures mostly sticking below the 70s. But he says there will be near record highs again early next week.
We're inextricably, heading toward a warmer climate regime. And so, you know, I kind of root for, you know, for cooler weather. Anytime we, you know, we don't get as warm as we're supposed to, you know, I kind of take that as a one day victory.
Although he says there is at least one group of people who really get to enjoy the heat.
I've heard this a lot from gardeners, and they kind of feel guilty. They're like, man, this is really kind of a bad sign for, you know, for the future of Alaska. But man, this is great for gardening.
Brett Schneider says temperatures are set to hit a peak in South Central Tuesday and Wednesday when they could get above 80 degrees. And he says there's no hint that Alaska's headed toward a rainy late summer pattern anytime soon. Still to come on Alaska News Nightly, new programs for homeless youth in Anchorage combine housing and job training.
Some young people needed family and community around them so that their independence could be supported.
That's ahead. Stay with us.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by your local public radio station.
Are you ready to start accelerating your child's future through education? The Alaska Native Science and Engineering Program is expanding its reach with new opportunities in Juneau and Southeast Alaska. With ANSEP's Acceleration Academy, high school students can earn college credit, save thousands of dollars in college costs, and experience fun, hands-on learning. ANSEP, it's a better way to learn. Learn more and enroll at ansep.net/acceleration. This message sponsored by ANSEP.
State health officials and researchers are urging Gulf of Alaska subsistence harvesters to get their shellfish tested to prevent paralytic shellfish poisoning. That's after a sample of razor clams from Chignik Lagoon late last week tested for levels of toxins 8 times higher than the limit deemed safe for consumption by the Food and Drug Administration. Paralytic shellfish poisoning is an illness caused by a marine toxin. It's serious and sometimes fatal. Bruce Wright is the chief scientist with the Kinnick Tribe and oversees regional shellfish testing. He says rapid ocean warming in the Gulf of Alaska in late May has made the water conducive to Alexandrium blooms, which produce the toxin responsible for paralytic shellfish poisoning, and it's only gotten warmer throughout June.
From Sitka all along the coast, up close to the coast, along Kodiak, Lower Cook Inlet, out the Aleutians, including the southern Alaska Peninsula, the water temperatures had increased 3-4 degrees, and we're now pushing 8 or 9 degrees.
Matthew Forrester is the biological analysis section manager with the State of Alaska's Environmental Health Laboratory, which processed the Chignik Lagoon sample. He says water temperatures can vary from beach to beach, but testing is critically important any time of the year.
The only safe shellfish to consume is shellfish that has been tested.
Subsistence shellfish harvesters can send in their samples to the state lab for a $125 fee. The Southeast Alaska Tribal Ocean Research, or CEDAR, in Sitka also offers testing for $75. A rock slide early Thursday damaged part of a cruise ship dock in Skagway. At least one cruise ship diverted from Skagway after the slide damaged part of the railroad dock. Other cruise ships are either using nearby docks or taking passengers by tenders to the nearby small boat harbor. The dock is owned by the White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. A rail line official said there were no injuries in the slide. Engineers will assess the slide area and repairs to the dock will begin once their evaluations are complete. Covenant House Alaska has provided shelter services to homeless youth in Anchorage for more than 30 years. Now they're opening 2 new buildings to provide job training and longer-term housing. Alaska Public Media's Katie Anastas took a tour of the new space and has this report.
CEO Allison Kerr says Covenant House leaders started thinking about this project years ago. They'd been providing short-term emergency housing and food at a 60-bed shelter since 2013. And they were planning their next move.
And as we were really looking to reimagine ourselves, we went to see a bunch of programs in the lower 48, and we were like, you know, programs that had redesigned themselves. And we were like, if you could do it over again, what would you do?
The answer was combining long-term housing with job training. After a year of construction, Friday marked the opening of Covey Lofts and Covey Academy. The 2 buildings sit on either side of the Covenant House downtown. Kerr says the idea is to give the young people they serve more independence while keeping them connected to services.
During the pandemic, we realized that congregate setting was not the safest space for our young people, nor did it give them the independence. But yet we also realized that some young people needed family and community around them so that their independence could be supported.
Covey Lofts is a four-story building with 22 apartment units. Starting in fall, they'll be open to anyone from the Covenant House shelter, aged 18 to 25, in need of long-term housing. Each room has a full-size bed, a TV, a microwave, and an in-unit bathroom. The building will be staffed 24/7 by Covenant House employees.
The micro units are like a really cool walk-up apartment, so to speak, for a young person. And then we also realized that, hey, there's the connection between education, employment, and training.
Next door, Covey Academy offers vocational training in a variety of industries. There's an industrial kitchen where students can prepare for culinary jobs.
And then this is our training kitchen.
Chief Program Officer Heidi Hupert leads a tour.
This is our training center where young people...
There are classrooms where they'll learn about writing resumes and cover letters. There are conference rooms where students can have interviews or meet with elders. And there are high-tech simulators that let students try out driving big rigs or operating heavy equipment.
Which is really exciting, so our young people can get their first taste of learning what that might be like. And, if they really get into operating a crane or a cat, this is an opportunity to then continue their education and send them to those classes to get their CDLs and some of those higher certifications.
The housing units are upstairs.
So we have 19 of these units here upstairs that are single occupant. They all have their own private bathrooms and little kitchenettes.
Down the hall are a laundry room, a gym, a kitchen, and living rooms. The 19 people who will live in this building will be working on long-term training at Covey Academy. Partner organizations like the State Department of Labor, the Anchorage School District, and Nine Star Education and Employment Services have offices in the building. Kevin Ryan is the president of Covenant House International. He says the project is the result of a city and statewide collaboration.
This all came about because there is a big movement of people in this community who want to make sure that no kid is on the streets alone. This is a public-private partnership that brings together folks from the business community, from civic associations, from government, and the members of the board of Covenant House Alaska's directorship to help young people build the scaffolding of their lives so that they can sustainably overcome homelessness.
Kerr says it's important to remember that one size doesn't fit all when it comes to preventing and addressing youth homelessness. She and other leaders hope these new spaces will provide more opportunities for young people to have a safe, stable, and successful future. In Anchorage, I'm Katie Anastas.
A former Anchorage watchdog is suing the city for a wrongful termination after she was fired while investigating complaints about the library's deputy director. Heather McAlpine, the former director of Anchorage's Office of Equal Opportunity, was fired in May. She filed a lawsuit in Superior Court on Thursday. According to the lawsuit, multiple employees complained to McAlpine about a hostile and discriminatory work environment under Judy Elledge, the library's deputy director. Elledge was appointed by Mayor Dave Bronson last year. Employees told McAlpine that Elledge made comments about Alaska Natives that employees found offensive, called a children's book about drag queens filth, and said movements like Black Lives Matter are, quote, killing libraries and this country, end quote, according to the lawsuit. The lawsuit says when employees brought their concerns to human resources, they were not investigated. McAlpine scheduled a meeting to raise the employees' complaints to human resources, but when she arrived at the meeting, she was fired, according to the complaint. The suit asserts that the city's human resource director, Nikki Shabaka, showed that he was not interested in conducting an impartial investigation when he appeared at a recent public meeting wearing a T-shirt that said in bold white letters, "I'm with Judy," a reference to Elledge. McAlpine's suit asked the city for at least $100,000 for lost wages, plus other payments for damages and attorney's fees.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by
Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, maintaining and operating the 800-mile Trans-Alaska Pipeline for 45 years. More at alyeskapipeline.com. Alaska Pacific University offers degree-seeking students the opportunity to receive donor-funded scholarships, grants, and other financial aid. apply for admission to be automatically considered for most scholarships. Complete financial aid applications by priority deadlines to receive optimal consideration. Financial aid counselors are available to assist. Learn more at alaskapacific.edu. This message sponsored by Alaska Pacific University.
State and local health officials are ramping up efforts to combat drug overdose deaths. In the Bristol Bay area, local clinics in Naknek and Dillingham are handing out emergency kits that include the life-saving overdose reversal drug naloxone. They're urging the public to have one on hand just in case, in hopes of preventing untimely deaths. KDLG's Corinne Smith reports.
Health officials in Naknek, a major fishing hub in Bristol Bay, are reporting a recent uptick in opioid drug overdoses. Mary Swain is the executive director of the Chamai Community Health Center.
Here in the clinic, we're seeing an average of 2 to 3 overdoses a week, either in clinic or hearing about it through others or family members coming to re-up their Narcan.
Narcan is the brand name for naloxone, a life-saving drug that can quickly reverse an opioid overdose. The clinic is one of many around the state distributing Narcan in free overdose emergency kits through a state program called Project Hope. The kits also include test strips for fentanyl, a synthetic opioid and one of the leading causes of overdoses.
The majority of those that have fentanyl-laced products, one, don't know it, and two, it's so prevalent in their drugs that they're overdosing without even knowing it.
Swain says they've seen at least one overdose death in the last month. She says the current rate of overdoses in Naknek is unprecedented. Last year, she says the clinic saw just 5 the entire summer season.
It is astonishing how prevalent it is. Right now, it's astonishing.
Swain says anyone can come to the clinic in Naknek and pick up an emergency kit for free. They're available for offices, vehicles, or boats to keep anywhere on hand.
The biggest value is saving a life. Nobody wants to see their friends or loved ones or somebody they don't even know lying unconscious on the ground and not being able to help.
In an emergency, Narcan or naloxone is administered in the form of a nasal spray. Effects should be immediate in about 30 or 40 seconds.
It's a very easy process. You basically lay the person on their back, spray it in their nose, kind of like a Flonase or a nasal spray that you would use if you had a head cold. And then the important thing is to try and get that Narcan through their body. So if they have very shallow breathing, very low breathing, we do suggest that you do some kind of breathing or chest compression.
Alaska saw a massive surge in opioid overdoses last year, up 75%. That's the largest jump in any state, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. On the west side of Bristol Bay and Dillingham, health officials with Kanakanak Hospital report at least 4 overdoses this year as compared to just 1 case during the same time last year. Also through Project Hope, state public health nurses will be distributing free emergency overdose kits at the Dillingham Public Health Center through June 24th. Michaela Holt is a state public health nurse manager for the region. She emphasized that if people don't know if someone had an overdose, they should administer naloxone spray anyway because it won't hurt the person.
If somebody comes across somebody and they don't know what happened to the person and they have Narcan, it is safe to administer regardless of the issue. And if it wasn't an opioid overdose, it won't hurt the person.
The Bristol Bay Area Health Corporation also distributes emergency Narcan at the Kanakanak Hospital in Dillingham and villages region-wide by request, as well as provide behavioral health services for patients and support for families. In Dillingham, I'm Corinne Smith.
Earlier this month, Amy Canavan cleaned up at the National Special Olympics game held in Orlando, Florida. The 37-year-old powerlifter from Kodiak brought home 3 silver medals and 1 bronze. KMXT's Dylan Samard caught up with her and brings us this story.
One might think that participating in a national-level athletic competition might be stressful.
You wouldn't get that impression from talking to Amy Canavan.
I do not get nervous at all. I like being around people. I love the audience. I love them cheering for me. And it was really, really cool.
Canavan says she's received a warm reception from Kodiak residents since returning home from the Games. She recently presented to Kodiak's Rotary Club and at the Kodiak Athletic Club, the gym where she trains 5 days a week with her coach and gym owner, Lindsay Knight. She says friends and strangers alike asked to see her impressive collection of medals. At the 2022 Special Olympics USA, she medaled in all her best lifts in the powerlifting competition, including bench press, deadlift, and squat. She won her third silver medal for combined lifts. This was her first time at the National Games. Now her sights are set on the Special Olympics Alaska Summer Games, which will take place in Anchorage this upcoming weekend, where she'll face other powerlifters from around the state. And she says she has high expectations.
I know that I'm really hoping for gold again, so I'm hoping to get all four gold. So we'll, yeah, knock on wood, I'm trying to push myself for gold again.
The next National Special Olympics Games won't be until 2024 at the earliest. Canavan is hoping to compete again if she's able. In Kodiak, I'm Dylan Simard.
Bears, porcupines, and eagles get a lot of attention in the summer months, especially from tourists. But as KTOO's Claire Strempel reports, rangers at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center say there are some small wonders, too.
Could you identify a margined white butterfly?
You've probably seen them without even knowing what they are. They're small, little white butterflies that kind of fly around.
Julia Shostak is an assistant director at the Visitor Center, and she says the margined white is one of four main kinds of butterflies we're likely to see around Juneau.
You know, I think a lot of people here come to see our larger fauna, but sometimes, you know, it's nice to think about the smaller things. So thinking about our birds and our insects can really kind of open the world past those larger fauna.
Margined white butterflies can be found sucking nectar on early summer blooms or doing a thing called mudding or puddling.
Lots of butterflies like to do it, where they kind of find a more moist area, sometimes little mud puddles. And they like to kind of cool off and drink water there.
She says they take in nutrients from the ground they can't get from plants. They know where to land and drink because chemoreceptors in their feet help them sense the composition of the soil. Shostak says a great place to see this in action is near Nugget Falls by the Mendenhall Glacier. She says the water there has a perfect chemical composition for the butterflies because of glacier silt in the water. But don't step on them.
When they're kind of on the ground in the mud, sometimes they just look like little rocks moving.
If you can't get out to the glacier, don't worry. Shostak says they're all over the place this time of year. Look for a white butterfly with some ashy markings on the wings. It's likely to be a margined white. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strempel.
And that's all for this edition of Alaska News Nightly. If you missed any of tonight's stories, we're online at alaskapublic.org and wherever you get your podcasts. We had reports tonight from Wesley Early, Kavitha George, Tegan Hanlon, and Lex Trinan in Anchorage, Kirsten Dobroth and Dylan Samard in Kodiak, Sabine Pooks in Kenai, Corinne Smith in Dillingham, and Claire Strempel in Juneau. If you have a news tip, question, or comment, email us, news@alaskapublic.org. Our audio engineer is Tobin Shelby. Katie Anastas is our producer. And never fear, intrepid reporter Casey Newshound Grove will be back in the host chair on Monday. I'm Lori Townsend. Have a great weekend.
Parents, did you know that one out of four Alaska high school students currently use e-cigarettes? E-cigarettes are easy to use and easy to hide. What teens breathe in and out from e-cigarettes is not safe. It contains cancer-causing chemicals, toxic metals, and nicotine. Nicotine can lead to addiction. It can harm brain development and hurt memory, learning, and attention span. Parents, talk to your teens about vaping. Visit LiveVapeFree at AlaskaQuitline.com. This message sponsored by the Alaska Tobacco Quitline.
This is statewide news on Alaska Public Media.